Welcome to the CEO.Digital Show. My name's Craig McCartney.
And I'm Darcy Thompson-Fields.
And this is an open exploration of technologies and trends straight from the C-suite.
You'll hear insights that will help you better deliver results for your company and its stakeholders now and in the future. You can find out more and stay up to date at CEO.Digital. Welcome to the CEO.Digital Show. You're listening to part of our exclusive mini podcast series, where we've teamed up with Citrix to find out more about where the private sector should turn its attention to when accelerating sustainability initiatives. We spoke to a range of thought leaders working within companies like Capgemini, Ericsson, and BCG, and more to shine a light on this very important topic. Across production, supply chains, IT, working practices, and culture, this is where the climate action begins. This interview today is with Tanya Spee, Partnerships and PR Manager for Vattenfall Solar Team. You might have heard insights from Tanya on our larger sustainability panel episode, but today you'll get a chance to hear the interview in full. Tanya is in between completing her master's at Delft University and has taken this time to partner with Vattenfall on the Vattenfall Solar Team project. A team of seven students have just unveiled their latest car, the Nuna 11, and will be taking it to compete in the Solar Challenge Morocco in October 2021. So please do listen for insights from Tanya on the future of solar-powered activity, what organisations can be doing to drive sustainability. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us on the CEO.Digital Show. Yeah, I'd love to just hear a little bit more about your role. You've got a fantastic, very unique project and position that's really shining a light on sustainability. So could you tell us a little bit more about what you do for your job and what you've been working on?
Yeah, of course. So right now I'm working at the Vattenfall Solar Team, which is a team consisting of 17 students, mainly from the Technical University of Delft. In 1.5 years, we are basically building our own solar car. So we're designing, building, testing, and in the end, even racing with our own car that drives fully on the sun's energy. And my role within the team is to be the main contact person for all our partners. And I also do communications and I'm the spokesperson of the team. So actually, things that are not all that technical within the team, although I do have a technical background.
Fantastic. And that's a really fascinating project to be involved in. You mentioned you had a bit of a technical background, but have you always been quite focused on sustainability? What kind of brought you to this role that you're in now?
Yeah, so I have a bachelor's in mechanical engineering and I do not yet have a master's. I basically wanted to take a gap year between my bachelor's and master's to just find out more things to do and to broaden my horizon a bit. So I wanted to not do all the technical things in my gap year, yeah, but to broaden to more like management and society kind of things. This project is a famous project already in Delft and in the Netherlands, and I already saw it on TV earlier, so I thought it was really cool. And I basically just applied for it because I also wanted to have my role in like a greener future. And I think it was an excellent combination of as well having my role in a greener future and just developing my personal skills in my gap year.
Fantastic. Yeah, makes sense. Can you tell us a little bit more about the project? So how did it come about? And, you know, what are you kind of looking to achieve as the main outcomes? Obviously, you want to build this fully solar powered car, which is amazing. But what are you looking at as kind of your wider goals? And also, what would you like the lasting impact of this project to be?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think the goal has shifted a bit throughout the years. Our team consists of already 20 years. And back then in the year 2001 or 2000, there was a group of TU Delft students who saw a movie called Race the Sun. And it's about the famous Bridgestone World Solar Challenge, which is the big solar challenge in Australia. And they thought like, oh, we could just do that as well. It's a nice project. So we'll just cobble together a car, get some students to work on it. And if the car falls apart, then that's okay. We'll just go surfing in Australia. So it was basically just a fun project to do. But then it got more serious. They asked the Dutch first astronaut, who was also a professor at the university, to be their team coach. And it was Wibbo Ockels. And Wibbo said, like, I'll only be your team coach if you're really going to win and you're really just dedicated to this project. So they were like, okay, well, then we'll just actually try our best for it. And with success, they actually became first in their very first year. They were very successful the years later as well. But back then, it wasn't really a thing yet with climate change and a greener future in the year 2000s. That more or less came the last years. So right now, our goal is more or less to inspire people for sustainability and to show them what you can do with today's technology and with innovation, because many people don't really know how far you can actually get with the technology of today and with sustainability. And you can actually drive thousands of kilometers just on the sun's energy. So our main goal right now is just to combine today's technology and innovate in it, and mainly just spread the words and inspire young and old and show them what's possible.
Incredible. Are there any particular technologies that you think are key to advancing sustainability?
Yeah, I definitely think there is. Our solar car basically combines all new technologies that can be thought of in a solar car. And I don't necessarily think that in the future we will all be driving in such a solar car we are building right now. But the technologies that we use can be used for just different places in a sustainable future. Just battery technology. Because right now, most batteries are made of lithium, and lithium ion is more toxic for the environment, and it uses more scarce materials. So right now, the battery in our solar car is a lithium iron phosphate battery, which is basically just better for the environment. So I think in the future, more and more batteries will be of that lithium iron phosphate type. So that's one example.
Fantastic. And, you know, you mentioned kind of a bit of a journey of kind of how the team's goals have evolved over time. But are there any kind of particular upcoming exciting sort of races or projects or examples that you'll be working on?
Yeah, so right now we are really focusing on the Moroccan Solar Challenge, which is like our big solar race in October. And we'll be competing against 6 other student solar car racing teams. Right now we are in the testing phase to test all the components of our solar car, and our goal in the race really is just to win, to cross the finish line first. And yeah, that's our own goal, to show that we've been building the most innovative and best solar car, but also to reach most people, as much people as we can, to really show them that we actually drove 2,500 kilometers, the race 2,500 kilometers, just on the sun's energy in a few days through the Moroccan desert and the mountains.
Amazing. That sounds so exciting. I really loved, you touched on earlier how kind of one of your more long-term goals is to inspire companies to look at their own sustainability credits and make an active effort towards becoming more sustainable. Obviously, you yourself, you mentioned you're a student, you are working with a team of students and essentially with kind of the younger generation who are going to be the future workforce. How important do you think it is to yourself and your peers, for organisations that you want to work for, to have good sustainability credits to show that they are tackling environmental and social sustainability responsibly?
Yeah, I think nowadays it is really important. A business should just consider more than profits, but also consider their impact on society and the environment. Also, I do see that the younger generation is learning a lot about it at school already, way more than I did like 10 years ago. Because with our solar car, she's called Nuna, we actually visited a lot of primary schools throughout the Netherlands. And they were asking so many interesting questions that sometimes already ran pretty deep about what kind of solar panels we use, because they actually already learned about that at school. And I'm talking about like 10-year-old kids. So I was really surprised by that, and I was really happy to hear that. And we also mainly tried to focus on kids. We realized that our solar car is very a tangible thing when you talk about sustainability. People can really see the car, they see what it does. So for children, it's easy to understand how the car works. And that's why we're also right now making a children's booklet about our solar car that we want to spread about primary schools throughout the Netherlands and at our partners. And it's basically about the vision of a child of a car right now is that the car says vroom and a cloud of smoke comes out of the car. And we want to change that image that children have in their heads and people in general have, so that the car does not save room. It can also be silent because it's electric and there does not come a cloud of smoke out of it because it uses a sustainable form of energy. And we want to make that like a new normal.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that perception shift can totally happen. I don't know if you've seen all those videos they show of kind of asking children of different ages to represent a phone with their hands. And you have slightly older children who will kind of hold it up as if they've got an earpiece and a mouthpiece, whereas other children just hold their phone flat because they're used to a tablet or an iPhone. But yeah, you can totally shift that perception. I think that's a really good project. I'd love to touch kind of on the university a little bit. And obviously, it's really amazing that they're getting the team together to pioneer this project. But what other kind of sustainability practices or focuses have the university been putting in place?
Actually, one of many projects that the University of Delft has begun, because we are building a solar car, but they also have projects of students, groups of students that are building a solar boat or a hydrogen-powered car, even a hydrogen-powered airplane. So they have a lot of projects who combine mobility with sustainability, and also more projects that just focus on innovation for society. For example, to help people in wheelchairs walk up again with external robot skeletons, basically. So they have a lot of projects, but I think like 2/3 of the projects really focuses on sustainability.
From your perspective, what should individuals and companies prioritize when it comes to their sustainability agenda?
That's an interesting question. I think that it's most important people actually see the importance of it, because when people are just given a set of rules that are meant to be more sustainable, they will not really see the importance of it, and they will see it as a must instead of how nice it actually is or how nice it can be. So it should be pretty much effortless and easy things to do, little things to do, such as maybe putting charging stations in front of the company, and think about plastic packaging and separating waste, be smart with paper and use some sustainable products, make people work from home, which of course is often the case right now. So it should be easy, simple things to do that should not be all that drastic, because then it's maybe difficult for people to adapt to it. And I think it's just most important people really should get enthusiastic about it and want to make that change rather than they're told to make the change.
I think there's often debate amongst kind of where responsibility lies for sustainability. And in essence, I think it sits with all of us. But how much should governments be helping businesses to drive sustainability and lead the agenda? Should it sit more on their shoulders or more with organisations?
I think that's an interesting one. They definitely should support it. I don't think they should really drive the change, but I think that will not be the most efficient way. I think it will be more efficient if there are like smaller groups really see the importance of it and take the lead in it and show just different angles of why it is important and how it can be done, rather than that the government just takes on the big projects to make everybody change. I think that just works. That doesn't really work, but I think they can definitely support us to give businesses just the opportunity to do it, maybe make it not as expensive or just easy to make the change, and that people easily adapt to it when people in their small circles adapt to it.
I think companies not only have a responsibility to drive sustainability, but it can also offer a lot of benefits to them. One of those benefits is attracting the younger workforce who are more aware of sort of sustainability and cultural issues. I was wondering if there are any kind of companies or projects that you've seen out there whose approach to sustainability you find really inspiring, that you think could, you know, potentially attract you as talent.
Well, the one I find most inspiring is actually pretty easy, because that's one's called Lightyear. And Lightyear is a company that will bring the first real solar car on the market, actually. And it was a few years ago a startup of all team members of our team and also all team members of a different solar car race team of Eindhoven, another Dutch city. And they're making an electric vehicle, which has solar panels on the roof, which gives you like a fourth more range just because of the solar panels. And of course, that's the one I found most interesting, because it really shows that our solar car, we are only building one, and our main goal is really to inspire people and show what's possible. But it's not like it's unreachable for the normal people, because the actual real solar car is coming to the market next summer. And I think that's just amazing to see that that's developed from our team, basically.
I mean, this project is so exciting, and we're seeing so many technological innovations to support sustainability. I'm just wondering, is it a reasonable prospect to expect to have fully solar-powered vehicles on the road in the future, or is the technology that you're working on going to help us in other ways?
To be honest, I don't think so. Do we have fully powered solar cars on the roads? Because I think we're now building solar cars to really show how all the technology can be combined and to make innovation. But in the end, it is not the most practical way, because a car's roof doesn't have all that much of space. So I think it's better to just have your solar panels stay on the roof and then charge your car with it, because it's just way more efficient. But the technology we use in our solar cars can be used everywhere in that scenario. So for example, the battery technology we're now using in our solar cars can then be used in houses. And the solar panel technology that we're using in solar cars can also be used on the houses. And then again, some aerodynamic tricks of cars can be used in normal cars. In the end, the technologies we use in our solar cars are more to be used everywhere instead of just in a real solar car in the future, I think.
It's amazing work that you and your team have done on this project. Obviously, you've been working on it over the past couple of years, and much like all of us, I'm sure you faced disruption from the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. How did you guys manage to work together collaboratively, even as you were potentially forced to work remotely?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because when we started our year, there already was COVID and we did not know each other. We were basically just all put together in the team and nobody knew each other of the 70 team members. And then we almost immediately had to start working from home. So you did not really get to know your team members. Well, in the end, for being on a project, you do not get paid and you really work on a project out of intrinsic motivation. So you should just really know your team members and have that like team spirit to be motivated enough to work on the project. So that was really a big challenge. I think that was the most important challenge, actually, because designing a car can be done from home. You can basically connect with the supercomputers at the office, but you should still be motivated enough to do this like 6 days a week for a lot of hours. So we just did many like games online together, and we came together in small groups that was allowed by the regulations of the government. Then when we are halfway in the year, the designing part was ready. We had to start producing our car, and producing a car is really a physical thing. We had to come together physically to actually produce the car. So then a part of our team basically just formed a household and they just moved in together in apartments with five of them. And they just produced the solar car 7 days a week, the households, which was allowed by the regulations. So yeah, we've just always been looking for the opportunities within the regulations. And we actually made it, because solar car is now standing right beneath me in the working space. Right now, the regulations also are more free, so we can actually sit together on the office, work together physically, which in the end is much more fun.
Thank you so much for these insights, Tania. I'm wishing you and the team the best of luck in the Morocco Solar Challenge in October. Any final words you'd like to leave our listeners with before you go today?
There's not anything in particular that I want to add. I just want to say, like, to everybody who's listening to this podcast, to be open to all kind of new opportunities and just make like a small changes in your lifestyle that in the end become normal. And that is the best way to work towards a green future together.